We're going to go to Galatians 6 and read a couple portions of scripture there. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, somebody say that. That shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, of the flesh reap corruption. That's not good. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in, somebody say, due season, we shall reap if we faint not. And I want to talk to you tonight on this thought. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. God bless you. You're seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, I kind of went down this path briefly on Sunday morning, and I felt, when I was done preaching, I felt the Lord kind of deal with me about coming back on it and teaching and talking about the principle of reaping and sowing. And to sow means to scatter seed over the land. It's an agriculture phrase. It's seed that is scattered for growth or to plant. It's to see, sow means to implant, introduce, or propagate. It's to plant. To reap is to gather or take, as we would a harvest or a crop, to go and gather. It's to get as a return or a result. It's to collect or to gather the harvest. When growing up as a kid, my mom had a couple phrases that she liked to say, because I said so. You're being carnal. Yeah, mostly to my brother, but he was 10 years old, younger than I, so I don't know if it, maybe I'm just making that up. But there's water to drink, right? And then one of her other most famous sayings was, you reap what you sow. And that was one of the famous sayings of Panero household. And that rings true today. That is not just a cliche. That is scripture. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to the Galatians. Now, Galatia was not just a city. It was an area, what we would know today as modern-day Turkey. And so he writes, he's telling the believers in the area of Galatia, he's telling them that you reap what you sow. Now, it is believed that the Apostle Paul founded these churches, him with Barnabas, on his second missionary journey. And he's writing, if you notice in Galatians chapter 1, verse 2, he's writing and he says, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Now, sometimes when we read in the scripture, for example, in Ephesians, it was to the church in Ephesus. In Colossians, it was to the church in Coloss. It was particular areas. But he's writing to the churches of Galatia. And so it was, you can read more about him in establishing churches if you're taking notes in Acts chapter 13 through Acts chapter 14. But he's writing to the early Christians and he's telling them, in fact, if you would notice something, I think this is worth saying. the apostle Paul, he's responsible for writing, Ephesians and Timothy and Titus, etc. Much of the New Testament as we know today. But one thing that you need to understand is the Apostle Paul had eye problems. It is believed that he had cataracts, and so as he would many times he would dictate. So he would say, write this down, and they would write. But if you would notice, and I want to say it's in Galatians chapter 6. In fact, I think I gave them the next verse there. But in Galatians chapter 6, the apostle the Apostle Paul tells us specifically in verse 11. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. So this is one book that we know for sure that he physically actually wrote himself. So those for Bible trivia. But the common denominator or theme or purpose of the Apostle Paul writing the book of Galatians is because we understand that Peter was ministering to the Jews and Paul to the Gentiles, and so there was a little bit of a confusion sometimes in the church because the Jews would try to convert the Mosaic lifestyle to the Gentiles, and one thing would be, for example, circumcision, and so the Paul was telling them that don't get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And let's remember that you have been called out of darkness into your marvelous light. And I'm paraphrasing now, but there's some things that you have to understand that you are no longer bound by the law, but you have been set free because Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And so it's the same thing today. We don't need to get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We don't need to get entangled again with the things that God has brought us out from and the things that he has kept us from. We don't need to go back to the things of worldliness and carnality and go back and because maybe the Lord has delivered us from an immoral lifestyle. We don't need to go back and flirt or try to allow those seeds to be able to take root in our field. We don't need any of that garbage anymore because you reap what you sow. And we have to stay away from false doctrine. We have to stay away from something that it was around a little bit when I was in college, and but I think over the last probably 5 years it's more prevalent now than ever. But humanism, we can't allow the fleshly desires or the humanistic ideas of the day to grow or to plant seed in the field of our heart or our minds. We don't need any of that. It's still the apostolic doctrine. It's still as John 3:5, Jesus begins to tell the man that you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Except that happens, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's still the apostolic doctrine of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. It still takes an experience at an altar. It still takes holiness of lifestyle. As Hebrews 12 and 14 says, I like this part. It says, follow peace with all men. Then if you just say, follow holiness, something we have to follow after. It may not necessarily follow after you, but you have to follow after that, which is holiness. For without it, no man shall see the Lord. And I'm glad today. I'm glad today that I know who Jesus is. I'm glad that I understand that salvation did not stop at the apostles, and it did not stop with Acts chapter 2, but I'm glad today that the message still rings true today of Acts chapter 1 when Jesus says that you shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost comes upon you. That there's a reaping and a sowing principle there. You receive the Holy Ghost, you receive power. But if you don't receive the Holy Ghost, you don't have any power. The principle of reaping and sowing is not just apply, and that's one thing I want to make sure I nail down tonight. Reaping and sowing does not just apply to spiritual things. It's a principle of the Word of God that can be applied and transferred to so many different areas of our life, even to our physical well-being, what we consume, what we watch, what we listen to. It all has an effect, good or bad, on us. The Apostle Peter declared and preached on the day of Pentecost repentance and baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. And then he says, for the promises unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. There's the principle of sowing and reaping there. There's if you sow in repentance, the Lord will forgive you. But if you don't repent, you're walking around with all kinds of trouble and burdens and heartache, and you gotta lay that down at the foot of Jesus. You gotta lay that down at the altar, and He's able to forgive you. First point I want to make tonight is, what are you sowing? Because everyone is sowing something, and doing nothing is sowing. It should not be a surprise if you planted corn and pumpkins come up. It's the natural law of harvest to receive whatever you put in the ground. That's what happens. That's the cycle of harvest. The life is in the seed. We have to understand that the life is in the seed. The soil and the conditions of the environment can assist in the growth of the seed or can hinder the seed. Let's remember the parable of the sower in the Gospels. If you're taking notes, specifically Matthew chapter 8, Mark 4, and Luke 8, that the Word of God is life. Notice Luke 8 and 11, it says, the seed is the Word of God. Now, how we react, how we apply, and how we receive the Word of God will affect the harvest in our lives. All people, notice this, all people will have a harvest of the consequences of their actions. Everybody. You will have consequences, good or bad, of your actions. Job 4 and 8 tells us, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. It's powerful. Words are seeds too. Yeah. The scripture tells us in Proverbs, notice this, 18 and 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Notice this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Some people have saved their lives by what they said. Right? How'd that stain get there? I don't know, my brother did it. Right? You saved your life. Some people have lost their life because of what they said. Are we sowing into the promises of God in our lives? Just think about that. Notice this. Some of us have anointings and ministries and talents and promises and prophetic utterances that we've allowed, you have allowed, somebody say, I have allowed, that we have allowed to go dormant in inactivity. You have leaves and the leaves are green, but there's no fruit. You have no fruit on your tree. There's grass, but the grass is not green. And so we can either stand and watch and murmur, be frustrated, complain during harvest time when everybody else is basket is full of fruit, and we're looking at ours, and we are measuring our field, but by what other people have, or maybe we want to go into their field of harvest and take their fruit when God has given us a seed that we should be putting in the ground. We should be working the seed and the field that God has given us, because we reap what we sow. It's a principle of reaping and sowing. Think about this. I want to say it's in Ephesians 6, Sister Lori, Ephesians 6. This is another principle of reaping and sowing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. Not with your parents, with you. Somebody say with me. And thou mayest live long on the earth. There again is an example of reaping and sowing. Here's another. If you gossip about your friends, you'll eventually lose their friendship. Yeah. But you can be the person that when gossip comes your way, it stops. Proverbs 26 and 20 tells us, where no wood is, there the fire go out. So where there is no talebearer or gossiper, the strife ceaseth. Notice this. as coals are to burning coal, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. We reap what we sow. Let me teach you something if you don't know this already. If somebody is gossiping to you, I guarantee it, they're gossiping about you to somebody else. 100%. I have never not seen that principle not go the other way. Sometimes you have to ask yourself, why are they so comfortable gossiping with me? How about this? Sowing and reaping. Are we sowing in forgiveness? I love it, and you should too, that when you ask for forgiveness, that the Lord forgives you. Anybody thankful for that?
Amen.
Matthew 6 and 14. Again, the principle of reaping and sowing. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive men of their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses. I want to stir this up because, and I mentioned this a little bit on Sunday morning, many times, and I've been guilty of this myself. I talked to a pastor about it this week. We tend to apply this scripture in a negative connotation, and or we use it when it's in regards to stewardship of money. But this principle applies to so many other areas of our life. So many other areas of our life. We got to understand, as Romans 12 will tell us, let us not be conformed to this world, but let us be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now the world will tell you, what have you done for me lately? What's in it for me? What can I get from it? Well, what they don't know won't hurt them, right? But we all know too much. Nobody in this building, especially after this service today, can live by the standards of the world because of what you know now in the scripture. And for most of us, this is not something new. This is just a good reminder. This is something that reminds us to say, you know what? I reap what I sow. I loved it the other day. I walked up on a conversation and I heard some folks talking about the Bible study from a week ago and how they were applying it to their lives, and they actually shook hands with somebody and said, we're going to be kind to each other. I thought that was pretty awesome. Brother Drozdik, they were paying attention. And this same principle tonight ought to be the same thing. When we're done and we come to the altar, we need to let this as rings in my mind many times throughout the week. You reap what you sow. That when you're writing out your checks or your bills for the month, and you think about skipping some things, or you're in the break room and you're engaging in a conversation that's going down a path, or you want to wear something that maybe isn't holy and you know it's against godly principles, that you look and say, you know what? I reap what I sow. God sees all. God knows all. God understands. I may be fooling my husband, my wife, my boss, my professor, the pastor, but I'm not fooling the Lord. And it's the nature of harvest that I reap what I sow.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
Ephesians 4 and 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. New Living Translation said, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Let's look at the story of Joseph briefly. He walked through some terrible seasons in his life. Those of you that are taking notes, Genesis chapter 37 through Genesis 50, you have plenty of reading about the story of Joseph and the life of Joseph. 17 years old when we come to know Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. It's crazy that his father loved him, but his brothers hated him. They had a nickname for him. Anybody know what the nickname was? The Dreamer. They called him the Dreamer. They stripped him of his coat of many colors. But yet he was loved by his father. They threw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. I want to say it was like for 20 shekels of silver. Joseph no doubt cried Joseph no doubt had some emotional distress, traumatized. 17 years old, dealing with some of these things, I'm sure there were nights that he had nightmares, probably had insecurities. No doubt that the feelings, the emotions of hatred begin to stir in him. And he's a terrific example of reaping and sowing. Remember that he had these dreams, but he helps others along the way. Potiphar, he goes and he's sold into a home of a man of Potiphar, and if you notice in the scripture, if you're taking notes, Genesis chapter 39 verses 1-6, and it says, "And the Lord was with Joseph." Bad things happened to Joseph, but we don't hear or read about Joseph doing bad things to anybody else. Bad things do happen to good people. Well, notice this. He goes to prison. If you read in the scriptures in Genesis 39, I want to say verses 19 through 23, and the scripture says, "And God was with him." And it gets better. Genesis chapter 40, he starts and he interprets dreams. And those dreams come to pass. And his dream is still put on hold. But show me a place in the scripture where Joseph cried and complained and murmured. Maybe it happened. I'm sure. It's human. But you look at a good representation of reaping and sowing. Now we know the end of the story, but Joseph didn't know the end of the story as we know today, because he was living it. And in the end, in Genesis chapter 50, right around verse 20, there we go, he says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." And we know what happened to Joseph. He was elevated, second most powerful man. He was able to provide for all of his family, his brothers and nieces and nephews, through an entire famine. The principle of reaping and sowing. You see, some folks, notice this, this is powerful. Some folks have understanding, but they have no peace. Think about that. But when you're a child of God, notice what the scripture says. He'll give you peace, which passeth all understanding. There are folks that I understand what you're going through. You can have all the understanding you want, but the principle of sowing and reaping is, he'll give you peace, which passeth all understanding. So what are we sowing? What are you sowing? Sowing in faith? Because Hebrews 11 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So we could sow faith. We reread a little further and we get more clarity in Hebrews 11 and 6. Notice this. "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Again, you reap what you sow. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Notice this. Reaping and sowing. If we read a little bit further in Hebrews 11, this is awesome. "You reap what you sow as it relates to obedience." Notice Hebrews 11 and 7 Hebrews 11 and 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as of yet, moved with fear." Now that word fear, when you look at that word fear, it's not being afraid. It was reverence. So he moved with reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So because Noah had reverence for the things of God and for the word of God, for the voice of God, he went out and did something that had never been done before and has never been done again since then. Think about that. And all he had was a word. But he reaped what he sowed and he saved his family. But it gets better. Verse 8, and by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out, he was asked to leave Ur, the land of the Chaldeans, leave the place of idol worship, leave the place that you've, the only place you've ever known, you need to leave. Notice this. And he obeyed. Verse 8 says, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. Pretty crazy, Brother Jose, right? Pretty crazy. But look at this. And by faith, he sojourned. So he sowed in faith. Notice this. And he went to a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Notice this. For he looked for a city whose hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. And we know the rest of the story, right? Father Abraham, el padre de fe, right? The father of the faithful. Because he moved with obedience. So he reaped in obedience. And today we call him Father Abraham, the father of the faithful. So what are we sowing today? Are we sowing in faith? We sowing in doubt? Galatians says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Second point is, we are responsible for what we harvest. That's why the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I cannot look at my field at harvest time and blame you for what took place in my field. Can't. Because notice this, if you can take the credit when things are going good, come on, somebody. You ought to be able to step up and take the credit when things aren't going so good. You reap what you sow. I mean, if you can praise God when it's all good, then you certainly ought to be able to worship Him.
Yeah. Come on. Amen.
That's right. Come on.
When it's rough and tough.
Yeah. Right. Amen. That's right.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Right? Because you reap what you sow. Even Job understood the principle. Even when he was encouraged by his wife to curse God and die. Even when his family was gone and his home was destroyed and the money was dried up. Money meaning his cattle and resources. His health had deteriorated. Job said it best. Job 1:21. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And notice this. In all. Somebody say in all. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job didn't know what was going to happen. Job didn't know how it was going to end up. But see, we have the privilege today, Sister Rivas, we have the privilege today of being able to go to Job chapter 42 and reading what the Scripture says. Scripture tells us that the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Notice this. This is wonderful. Then came there unto him all his brothers, all his sisters, and I like this part, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before. Yeah, I like this part, Brother Robert. Notice what they did. And they came to his house and they ate, they comforted him, and they all brought him. Every man also gave him a piece of money and gave him an earring of gold. That means even his acquaintances. So all of you that got all those acquaintances on Facebook, man, just ask them all for $10. Well, you reap what you sow. Praise God. Some of you might have 1,800 friends, you know? That $10 adds up real quick. I want to just kind of linger here for a moment. Job could have justifiably quit, but he didn't. He could have. He could have quit. He could have said, well, that's just, you know, but because Job had haters too, right? Everybody saw what took place to Job publicly, and God rewarded him publicly, that even his acquaintances blessed him. You see that God sees right where each of you are at, what you're going through, what it looks like, how you're feeling, what you're up against. He could send even one of your acquaintances to bless you, help you out. That's the God we serve. Yeah. Job was responsible for what he planted. He could have planted sin. He could have planted bitterness. He could have planted resentment. But Job began to bless the name of the Lord. He said, my Redeemer liveth. And all that Job did, he didn't curse God. He began to have dialogue and talk to the Lord. In order for prayers to be answered, notice this, we have to pray.
Right?
Right? In order for mercy to be granted, mercy. We gotta give mercy. If there's anything you want to be liberal with, it would be mercy. Matthew 5:7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The principle of sowing and reaping in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall, again, reaping and sowing, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Here's the reaping part. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. There's another principle of sowing and reaping. We cannot reap good stewardship financially if we are not sowing in stewardship. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And which he which soweth bountifully shall also sow or reap bountifully. We cannot allow the word of the Lord to get caught up in the clutter of the weeds. We got to protect our field. We got to get rid of the weed. The weeds are, and I'm coming to a close. The weeds could be negativity. The weeds could be doubt. The weeds could be toxic people. The weeds could be disobedience. The weeds could be spiritual distractions. Yeah. Reaping and sowing. Notice the scripture. Sister Ellen to make her way. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Yeah. Don't let your heart, your mind, your spirit become a dumping ground. Don't. You're not a dump or a waste disposal site. Don't allow other people to cross-contaminate their seed with your seed. You keep your seed pure. You keep your seed holy and righteous before the Lord. Surround yourself with faith and encouragement. Sometimes you're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Yeah. We need a good word. Anybody need a good word? Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. We reap what we sow. Tell your neighbor, we reap what we sow. We're God called. We're God anointed. We're God appointed. We're chosen by God. We got to protect what God has given us. We got to protect the seed, and we got to protect the ministries, the anointings, the blessings that God has given. We got to protect the families that God has entrusted you with. Hosea 10:12, as we stand this evening, it says, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. So I ask you tonight, what are you sowing and what's in your field? Work your field. Protect your seed. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Backing up and giving up and quitting and looking at what the Lord is doing for someone else and coveting what they have? No. But work to use what God has given you. And so, work what God has given you. You want a healthy marriage? Work on your marriage. You want healthy finances? Work on your finances. You want God to answer your prayers? Pray. You need direction and clarity from the Lord? Read your Bible. Scripture says, draw nigh unto him and he'll draw nigh unto you. That's not just with prayer and church. That's with applying the word of God to our lives this morning, or this evening rather. And then we have to endure the seasons that we're in. You can't plant tomatoes in January and expect tomatoes in February. Tomatoes are meant to be a spring and a summer fruit. Melons are made for the summer. God will bless you in your season. You got to just wait for your season, because the scripture says, in due season, if you faint not. So hold on to what the Lord is doing tonight. I want you to lift your hands, lift our voices to the Lord tonight. Before we make our way to the altar, I want us to be open and honest and transparent about the seeds, the field, the due season of what God has entrusted to us. I got a word from the Lord for somebody here tonight. Multiple people. You've been weary, but the Lord is about to let you reap in due season if you faint not. Somebody needs to receive that. That's from the word of the Lord, but I feel that in my spirit. I felt it all week to tell somebody, if you faint not, you're about to reap some things that you've been praying for, that you've been fasting for. Come on, somebody receive that in the Holy Ghost. You've been sowing, you've been working, you've been praying, you've been giving, you've been hurting, you've had restless nights. Come on, you've been frustrated. You've worked through the frustration. You've worked through the anxiety. You've worked through the depression. You've worked through giving when you didn't have to give, not just the finances, but of time and resource. And you're about to reap this evening. Your season of reaping is about to come. I feel the Holy Ghost stirring and moving. Jesus. 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 He ta da 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 do do sa. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Come on. Your due season is on its way. Come on. Would you step out and receive that in the Holy Ghost? Would you step out and receive that in the Holy Ghost? Right? That your due season, you're reaping in due season. Because you're not going to faint. You're not going to quit. Come on, you're a little bit weary, but you're moving. Little fatigue, but you're moving. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Come on. Some of you have juggled schedules to get to church. You've had bad employees. You've had poor decisions that were made that affected you. But you've worked and you've labored and you've pushed and you've pressed. You're about to reap in due season. Because you reap what you sow. You've had some bad health. Come on. I'm telling some Sunday school teachers right now, you've been investing in a bunch of other kids, 50 to 60 kids a week, and your kids are backslid. You're about to reap. Somebody's going to invest in your child somewhere. Hallelujah.
The leading of your hand.
Jesus. Come on. God won't be mocked. He stands by His word. He stands by His word. Come on, would you receive it this evening? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, I'm coming for you in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to reap. I'm going to reap the harvest God has promised me. I'm going to see the blessings of the Lord. Come on, some of you worship through pain and arthritis. And you watch 59 other people get their healing and miracles. I believe the Lord's going to heal you.